And good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this Thursday, August the 2nd, 2018, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and it's a good day to be here on the Now program. We are going to be joined momentarily via telephone by our representative, Jim Jordan, to talk about some things going on in the world. He possibly could be the next Speaker of the House. Wouldn't that be interesting? And we'll talk to him about his throwing his hat into the ring for that particular position and his visit to the district, which is going on currently. So we'll have a lot to talk with Representative Jordan about here momentarily. Now, coming up in the second hour today, many of you know this is the 95th anniversary of the death of President Warren G. Harding. And, of course, to us here in Marion, Ohio, that's a very important date. We are going to be joined in hour number two today at 1:10 by Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. I think it is the only interview he's doing on this particular date, on this particular subject. So that is what is in store for you today on the program. And if we have a little bit of time, maybe we can talk some current events and also do some trivia. We are going to take a quick time out here and come back, hopefully momentarily, with Representative Jim Jordan. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think they're the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fayey Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Hi, this is Steve Boom Boom Cannon, and as the king of trivia, I've got a question for you. Where can you find great talk, open phone lines, and celebrities every day? Now with Scott Spears on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP. We're in Marion, Ohio. Call him at 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. scottspears.com.
From 12:10 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this August the 2nd as we await Representative Jim Jordan to join us today. Do want to remind you that President Trump is returning to the Buckeye State hosting a rally on Saturday at the Delaware County Fair Coliseum. The rally begins at 6:30 p.m. Doors open at 3:30. Tickets are available now on President Trump's campaign website. You can only get two tickets per mobile number. The president is expected to announce his support for State Senator Troy Boulderson. He's the Republican running for the 12th District Congressional seat in the August 7th special election. Boulderson is facing Democrat Danny O'Connor and Green Party nominee Joe Manchin. Now, also tomorrow, something not to be forgotten, is my report from the Marion County Prison choir. I was able to attend one of their rehearsals last Wednesday. I have interviews with the choir director, Catherine Roma, two inmates and members of the choir, and clips of the choir rehearsing. Now, this special will air Friday, August the 3rd, tomorrow, Friday, August the 3rd, from 6:10 to 7 p.m., and then it will repeat at 9:10 until 10 p.m. So don't miss that, to be sure. My special from the Marion Prison Choir, tomorrow, Friday, August the 3rd, 6:10 to 7 p.m. and 9:10 to 10 p.m. And again, I want to thank everybody at the prison, the members of the choir director, as well as all the people who made it possible for us to come in and do that. And that special will air tomorrow. And I think we are getting the call we need right now. So I am just going to go ahead here as we continue on this afternoon. As I say, this is the 95th anniversary of the death of Warren Harding. So next hour, Warren Harding's grandson, Jim Blessing, coming up at 1:10. But this hour, our representative, who we've had on several times, but it's been a year and a half since we've had him on. I cannot believe it has been that long, but we're so glad that he is sparing 20 minutes of his very busy and important time today to join us via telephone. So glad to welcome back to these microphones Representative Jim Jordan. Representative Jordan, how are you?
Fine. Good to be with you.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been a year and a half.
Well, I can't either. I know we've been on many times, but I didn't realize that was the case either.
We've missed you, but we'll get right into it because I know you're very busy at this point. We all found out last week that you do want to be in the running for Speaker of the House. What prompted this decision?
I don't think the House of Representatives is doing what we told the American people we're going to do, and we got to do a better job of that. And so if we can maintain the majority, and that's the most important thing in the next 90-some days, is that we keep Republicans in control of the House. But if we can, then I want to, and if I'm given the opportunity to lead the House as the Speaker, then I want to focus on doing what we said. We've cut taxes, and that's a good thing. It's been helpful to the economy, but we haven't repealed Obamacare. We haven't reformed welfare. We haven't built a border security wall and fixed immigration like we need to. We haven't controlled spending. And frankly, I don't think we've helped President Trump enough in doing the things that need to get done. So that's what I want to focus on if given the opportunity.
Now, as most people know here in this district, this is your district, you are up for re-election this year. Your opponent, Janet Garrett, do you feel confident that you will be re-elected?
We've ran against Ms. Garrett a few times, and we've won each time in a strong fashion. So we'll see. But I you never want to be overconfident, but I do feel confident we're going to win. But ultimately, it's up to the people in the families of the 4th District. They get to decide, and that's a good thing. You know, I always say every 2 years, it's a good thing that we have elections in the House of Representatives. The founders wanted the House to be that body closest to the people, and that's why there's an election every 2 years. So that's up to the people in the 4th District. But I feel good about our chances of getting reelected.
We have a special election coming up here on August the 7th, next Tuesday, and one of the things I keep hearing is people want qualified people in these positions, people who are qualified. If somebody said to you, what are your qualifications to be Speaker of the House, how would you answer them?
Yeah, I don't think they want people, I mean, sure they want people qualified, but mostly what they want is people to do what they said. That's the biggest problem. The reason Americans are so despise the swamp, so despise the establishment in that town, Washington, D.C., is because all too often people will say one thing in election time and they'll get down to D.C. and they'll have a million reasons not to do what they said they were going to do and not to do what they were sent there to do. So that, to me, is the most important qualification. Will you go fight for the things you were elected to fight for and to accomplish? That's why I think I'm qualified, simply because we will do that. We will go fight for the people know where I stand. There's never been any pretending about that. And they said, we like that. We're gonna elect you to go represent us and give you the privilege of serving us in the United States Congress. And I'm going to go fight for the things that we're supposed to do. We're just not getting enough of that done. And I think with different leadership, we can get that done. I will tell you this thing too, Scott. The president's getting it done. In a year and a half, under this president, it's been phenomenal. We've seen taxes reduced, regulations reduced, the economy growing at an unprecedented rate, unemployment at lowest in 20 years. Gorsuch is on the court. Kavanaugh is on deck. We're out of the crazy Iran deal. The embassy has gone to Jerusalem, and the hostages have been returned from North Korea. That is a phenomenal year and a half, but Congress needs to do better, and that's what I want to try to focus on if given the chance to lead.
You know, here in the district, I do hear from a lot of people who are afraid that their vote won't count, that Russians will meddle in the elections coming up, that Russians meddled in the 2016 election. Do you feel that stronger steps need to be taken than what have been taken to stop meddling in the upcoming election?
Well, we obviously want our elections to be free, we want them to be fair, we want them to be accurate, and everyone has said that in fact was the case in 2016. Russia didn't impact any single vote in the election. No way they changed any vote tallies or anything like that. Russia is Russia. They're gonna try to get involved in our election and other people's elections. And you're right. We need the best and safest elections. We need the right kind of cybersecurity measures in place, and that should be a focus as we go forward. But I will tell you this whole investigation that was done. The one party that actually worked with the Russians was the Democrats, because the Clinton campaign hired the law firm Perkins Coie, who hired the firm Fusion GPS, who hired Chris Steele, who was talking with Russians, giving information back to the FBI that they then used to go get a warrant to spy on the other campaign. And when they went to the secret court to fight the court to get that warrant, they didn't tell the court that the document that they were basing it all on, the dossier, was paid for by the Clinton campaign. And it didn't tell the court the guy who wrote it, Christopher Steele, had been fired by the FBI because he was out leaking information. And yet they were able to use that document to secure the warrant that's found the other campaign. You and I go to front of a court, Scott, we got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the FBI should have to do the same darn thing, and they didn't. That's why this investigation is so important, and why we've been pushing so hard to get answers.
And I think that's very important. And I think something that's also important was the last indictment that the Mueller probe brought down. A very specific indictment. I read the indictment. And it said that the Russians did hack into the voter rolls of 39 states and had access to over 500,000 people's information. That really doesn't have anything to do with the dossier.
Say that again, Scott. What did that have to do with what?
I say that really doesn't have to do with the dossier on President Trump. That just, we know that the Russians did that, according to Mueller in the last indictment, that they were able to hack into the voter rolls in 39 states.
Yeah, and as I said, we should take that seriously, and we don't want that kind of activity going on. But it's also been clear that they didn't interfere with any vote tallies, any vote totals, and nothing changed the result of the election. So, right. We want to take it seriously. We don't want that to happen. We don't want them to impact our election process. But we also don't want the FBI taking one candidate's opposition research document, dressing it all up and pretending it's legitimate intelligence, taking it to a secret court to get a warrant to spy on the other campaign. I mean, that should never happen in the United States of America, but it did. That's the kind of stuff that happens in Venezuela, maybe that happens in Russia, but it certainly doesn't happen in the United States, but it did. And worse yet, parts of that dossier, they funneled it through Bruce Orr, a top-ranking official at the Justice Department. Bruce Orr was giving, we got this out of Peter Strzok in the hearing 3 weeks ago. Bruce Orr, top official at the Justice Department, whose wife worked for Fusion GPS, the firm hired by the Clintons, was passing the dossier to the FBI. And then they're using it to go get a warrant. That's scary. But that's exactly what happened. So, you're right. Both issues are important. Let's figure out both of them, and let's make sure they don't happen again.
Just have one more question on this, because I think it's interesting. What we know is that the Russians, for some reason, preferred Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, and in the summit that we saw a couple weeks ago, standing next to President Trump, President Putin was asked who he preferred, and he said President Trump. Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I have no idea, but here's what I do know. The foreign policy results of this president, his willingness to stand up to Iran and say we're not going to be in this crazy deal that was put together under the previous administration, where the previous administration gave billions of dollars of cold, hard cash to the largest state sponsor of terrorism, the country of Iran. I know that's been changed. I know that the hostages have been returned, and the remains of our fallen soldiers who gave their life for this country have been returned from North Korea because of this president. So I choose to look at all the good foreign policy successes we've seen. You'd have to ask Mr. Putin why he said that. I don't know, but what I do know is this president's doing a lot of good things.
Representative Jordan, yesterday NBC News reported that former retired Ohio State wrestling coach Russ Hellickson reached out to two ex-teammates and asked them to support their former assistant coach, Representative Jim Jordan, and went on to say that he was under pressure from Jordan to get statements of support from members of the team. Now, you have denied any wrongdoing here, knowing that any of this happened, and we accept that. But did you pressure Coach Hellickson to get these statements?
No. Scott, all kinds of coaches, all the guys I coach with have said the same thing I've said. All kinds of wrestlers have said the same thing I've said. You know why they said that? Because it's the truth. So this story yesterday were two individuals who wrestled for Ohio State about 30 years ago, 20-some years ago. One of them has got a criminal record. The other one spent 18 months in prison for fraud, and they're saying the things they're saying. Everybody sees through this story. Nobody believes it, and nobody believes it because, like I said, all kinds of coaches who coached with me, six different coaches who coached the same time I did, and all kinds of wrestlers have come forward and said the exact same thing I've said, and the reason they've said that is because it's the truth.
I accept that, but the question was, did you put pressure on Coach Hellickson to get statements from them? Because that's what he said.
No, that's not what Coach Hellickson said. That's what the guy who spent 18 months in prison said. And the answer is, no, I did not.
The report said Hellickson's appeal to help Jordan came from the congressman repeatedly. That's not true. You did not ask Coach Hellickson to do any of that.
Coach Hellickson is one of the coaches that I coach with who said the same thing I did, that no one reported any type of abuse because if they had, we'd have dealt with it. No one did. So, yeah, of course I've talked to Coach Hellickson, but you asked, did anyone pressure anyone? Of course not.
No, you didn't pressure him to get these statements from these players.
Of course not.
Okay.
But I did talk to all kinds of wrestlers and say, hey, can you tell the truth? And all kinds of people have come forward. Some of them I didn't even talk to. They just came forward because they know the truth, and they've said the same thing I've said.
Why do you think they're not telling the truth?
I didn't hear you, Scott.
Why do you think they're not telling the truth?
Why do you think? Who's not telling the truth?
The players. Why do you think they're not telling the truth?
The wrestlers, the two guys in the story?
And
you'd have to ask them, but I know deep down they know what the truth is. And you'd have to ask them. What I do know is Dunyasha Yates, who's the guy quoted in the story, spent 18 months in prison for fraud, for defrauding people lots of money. So you'd have to ask him, but I know the truth. All the other coaches know the truth. They've said the same thing I've said. All kinds of wrestlers have said the same thing I've said, because the truth is the truth.
We understand that, and that is what your statement has been. But as a wrestling coach during that time, this did go on. We know that. We know that this doctor did inappropriate things. Do you feel bad in any way that you didn't know what was going on?
Scott, I'll say it again. If in fact there was abuse, we want people who were harmed to get to get the truth out and to get justice. But I've been very clear. We didn't know about it. The coaches have said the same thing I have, and wrestlers come forward all the time. All kinds of them came forward and said the same thing I have.
Right. So, but why do you think they have done this?
Who's the they you're talking about?
The players. Why have the players made these accusations?
You'd have to ask them.
A lot of people have said, and forgive me, but they say it would be impossible for you not to have known this.
Scott, again, I don't know how many times I have to tell you that every single coach, six other coaches coached the same time I did, have said the exact same thing. Didn't know about any type of harm, any type of abuse. If we had, we'd have dealt with it. And what would be the incentive for us not to deal with it? These were our student athletes. We work with them all the time. We want them to perform at their best. We want the best for them. If we knew about it, we'd have dealt with it. There's no reason not to. So they've all said the same thing. Every single coach and all kinds of other wrestlers have come forward, said the same thing. You'd have to ask these guys why they're saying what they're saying.
Well, and I think that's interesting. I think they have been asked, and they just say that's their truth. I guess the question is, the big question is why did Coach Hellickson, on his own, if he not pressured by you, go ask these players to recant their statements on July the 4th?
You'd have to ask Coach Hellickson. But the bottom line is, we want the truth to come out. But you have to ask Coach Hellickson.
Okay. But you did not. You were not in contact with him to tell them to recant.
No, of course I've talked to Russ. I've talked to all kinds of folks.
Right,
I talked to all the other coaches too. Most of the coaches who signed the statement. I don't know if I talked to all of them, but you'd have to ask them.
Right, but you never asked anybody to pressure anybody to recant their story.
Of course, Scott. How many times do I have to answer?
Well, no, I'm just. I want to make it clear for the audience.
No, I've said it several times. Of course, I haven't.
Okay, and here is the most.
So but have I encouraged people to tell the truth? Yes, and what these guys are saying, the two guys who have the criminal records and one's been 18 months in prison for fraud, what they're saying is not the truth. So am I encouraging other people to tell the truth? Of course, and frankly, you would do the same thing.
Well,
anyone would do the same thing if they've been falsely accused of something, and that's what we're doing.
I think one of the problems with the story is Yetz, one of your former wrestlers, said, and I quote, he said, I will defend Jimmy until I have to put my hand on a Bible and be asked to tell the truth, then Jimmy will be on his own. Yetz said that in an interview this week, recalling a conversation he had with Hellickson.
And?
Well, he doesn't sound to have a negative opinion toward you. He doesn't seem like he wants anything bad to happen to you, but it doesn't sound like he thinks this didn't happen. He was willing to...
I mean, Scott, think about your question there. If you want to know, have him on your radio show and ask him. But what I'm telling you is the truth. And what I'm telling you about what he's saying, here's a guy who's not telling the truth, and here's a guy who, oh, by the way, spent 18 months in prison for fraud, and then was resent to prison when he broke parole. So that you can have him on and see if you believe him. I don't care. But this is what I've said.
Yeah, right. And I think, like I said,
every other coach has said the same thing.
And I think it's a fair question. I mean, you were allowed to answer any way you prefer. But this is maybe the most important question because we are here in Marion. What is in store for Marion? What can be done for Marion, the people listening right now who want Marion to be better?
Well, right now we got a 4.1% economic growth rate, which is phenomenal compared to what the previous administration, where it bumped along in percent and a half for so long. I mean, it's phenomenal growth rate, job opportunities now that weren't there before. People's taxes are lowered. But as I said before, we got a lot of other things we got to get done that I think will be helpful to the country and helpful to folks in the 4th District of Ohio, including Marion, Ohio. So we're going to continue to work on those. And I will tell you what the Democrats are saying. The Democrats are saying that they're going to raise taxes. They're going to abolish ICE. I mean, imagine that. They want an open border. We want to actually build the wall and secure the border. So they want to raise taxes, grow government, and impeach the president. That's what the Democrats want to do. So Marion will be better off. The 4th District will be better off. I think the country will be better off if, in fact, Republicans maintain control of the House and we don't have to do the thing. We can put in place the policies that we're talking about doing and that we told the American people we were going to do.
Final question here, because if you become Speaker of the House, that's a very powerful position. Do you want to see the conclusion of the Mueller probe?
Yeah, I wish it would be over with already. I mean, this whole thing is built on the dossier that we talked about earlier which is a complete joke, that this was the basis for getting the warrant to spy on the other campaign. And so, yeah, we want this thing to be over with as soon as possible. It should have been done with a long time ago. I have no idea when Bob Mueller is going to finish, but it's time it's over with, and we can move on getting the things done that the American people elected Donald Trump and Republicans to do.
We have 60 seconds left, and I want to ask this. Whatever the results of the Mueller probe, will you believe the results? We don't know what they are now, but when it comes, will you accept whatever Bob Mueller says? Representative Jordan? Okay. Well, we don't know where he went. Maybe he'll call back. 740-383-9944. That was Representative Jim Jordan, and I think those are fair questions. And Representative Jordan had the opportunity to answer those questions, and I certainly thank him for coming on today. I appreciate the interview, because I think sometime when you see these people on television and you don't get to talk to them face to face, there are some issues that you certainly want to go over here. I think we lost the congressman. Congressman, are you back?
I'm back. Yeah, I got cut off there. I don't know why I was pulled up to this railroad crossing with the train here and it lost it. I don't know.
The question I wanted to ask was, we don't know what the results will be of the Mueller probe yet, but no matter what they are you willing to accept the results? And we don't know.
Well, let's wait and see what they are. I mean, I think this should have been over with a long time ago. There's been in a year now, a year and 3 months. We've got no evidence whatsoever of any type of coordination, conspiracy, or collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And you're asking me a hypothetical. So, I mean, you know, we'll see when it comes out. But what I know to date is this thing should have been over with, it seems to me, a long time ago, because there's been no evidence of any type of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia. But we do know the Clinton campaign worked with Russians, because they paid the law firm who paid Fusion, who paid Christopher Steele, who worked with Russians to put together a document that they took to the secret court. We do know that, but we don't know any type of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia.
But and just to be fair, before we part ways here, because I know you're busy, but didn't the Benghazi investigation go on longer, and haven't members of the Trump administration been indicted and taken plea deals, like Michael Flynn? I mean, there have been Papadopoulos, Manafort's on trial, the campaign manager, Gates took a plea deal.
Tell me, which one of those is, tell me, any of those that deal with any type of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia? Tell me, any of those that deal with it?
I would think the campaign manager.
Name one.
The campaign manager, Paul Manafort, who...
It's all about didn't fail to Ukraine, failed to register as a lobbyist, and nothing. Not one single one, Scott. So you can keep bringing up those kind of examples, but not one of them has to do with what the Mueller probe was supposed to be about, which
collusion.
Was their coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia
right.
to impact the election.
But wouldn't,
zero evidence.
But wouldn't,
zero.
But wouldn't a contact point on the Trump campaign be the campaign manager, Paul Manafort, or the man who was heading the transition team, Michael Flynn, who one is on trial and one has already taken a plea deal? Wouldn't
what
those have
was
been?
The coordination with Russia?
Well, we don't
with the camp with Trump zero.
Well, we don't know. Well, we don't know because the investigation's not over.
We know with Manafort it wasn't. He's in court. We've seen the indictment. Everything we know it wasn't about that. Nothing.
So at this point, if Mueller came back, because we don't know again, and this is just an important point to make, to be honest with the people listening, if the report came back and said, we don't know if it's going to say collusion, we don't know, there might be no collusion, they might say President Trump wasn't involved at all, and then we just go on and don't have any worries. But if it does come back and say that, is there any way you could ever believe that, even if they have evidence?
Why don't we just wait and see what happens, right? We've waited now 15 months, they've shown no evidence of anything. Why don't we just wait and see what happens instead of you raising these hypotheticals?
Well,
let's
because
just wait and see.
Well, I think it's a hypothetical to say that there was nobody who no contact could have been made. There have been indictments. How many indictments were there in Benghazi?
No, I didn't say that. You can't. You got to listen to what I say, Scott. I said there's been no proof of any type of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia.
Right, but you said who would have been
Nero.
The, but you said who
Nero.
Would have been the contact point. Name one person who
well,
would have been
the... Well, you can come up with all the hypotheticals you want, but I'm telling you the facts. Nero.
Well, you just asked me the question. That's all I... I mean, you asked. Don't you think the campaign...
No, and you answered with another hypothetical. I said, tell me what type of... show me any evidence of anyone that shows any type of coordination with the Trump campaign and Russia. Any of these indictments. Zero. And then
that's
you come
correct.
Back with a hypothetical.
Yet. We
because
don't know.
You can't admit the fact that it's zero. There's been no coordination.
Well, if the Mueller report comes back and says there was no coordination,
the
I would accept
just
that.
Said was if. We're just, why don't we just wait and see? All I know is this thing should have been over a long time ago because so far they've shown nothing.
Right, but then again, didn't Benghazi and Whitewater go on longer than this? Watergate, didn't it go on longer than
and
this?
And we issued a separate report in the Benghazi thing, Scott. Mr. Pompeo and I did, which talked about the fact that they knew from the get-go that the video had nothing to do with the Benghazi attack, that it was a planned attack, and they tried to mislead the American people, and they did it because they were 56 days in front of an election, and they couldn't have the narrative out there that it was a terrorist attack on their watch. And so they had to come up with this crazy video narrative that the video caused the attack on Benghazi that took four Americans' lives. And that should never happen where the administration like that misleads the American public, and they did it for political reasons, and that is as clear as can be. Read our report that Mr. Pompeo
yes.
and I wrote. You can read it in a couple hours. It's only 50-some pages.
But
read that report, and you can have it.
Just to be fair, didn't that come as the result of an investigation? Don't we have to wait till the end first? Which is what I'm saying in the Trump investigation.
No, you're not. You're asking me to surmise what the investigation.
No. I'm just.
Investigation,
I'll
wait for it.
No. I'm not asking you to surmise what it will be. I'm just saying when the investigation is over, either way, which we don't know the answer yet, are you willing to accept it, no matter what the report says, what the Mueller report will come out with?
No, I'm willing to wait till the report comes out, and then I'm going to read it. And see what they say and see what the evidence and see who they interview and how it's done. Any person with a brain would take that answer. You're saying, oh, no matter what it is, will you accept it?
Right,
of
but
course
I,
not.
But I mean,
what kind of person would do that?
Right, but you've already pretty well said you don't believe there was collusion. So if it said collusion...
I've said there's no evidence of it. And,
oh, okay.
And you can't point to any either.
Okay. Right. So I guess...
But
we can
point to evidence of the Clinton campaign working with the Russians. But we can't point to any evidence of the Trump campaign working in Russia. And you can twist it as much as you want, but that's facts.
Well, I don't think I'm twisting. I'm asking questions.
No, you're asking hypotheticals.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate the time, and I do hope you are able to come on more often with us, because I think we have to hear all points of view on this thing, because I think when we get to the final analysis, there will be a report, and there people will read it, and we have had, 180
yeah.
indictments now.
I'm not giving a point of view, Scott. I'm giving the truth. On every single thing I've talked about, the truth. You're trying to say on this Russian thing that, oh, no, this, I'm giving you the truth. There's been no bit of evidence that shows any type of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia to date. To date.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, but we don't know what will happen in the future. I mean, agree or disagree?
Say it again.
I say, to this point. I mean, isn't that where we are? Yes, there has been no evidence.
Right. 15 months, not one bit of evidence.
Right, but didn't Watergate go on longer than 15 months, and at the end a president resigned?
I don't think Watergate went. I have to go back and look. I don't think it went this long. I think it was done a lot faster.
I don't know. We'll have
from
to check.
From the time they started the committee to investigate, I think it was a lot faster.
Well, here's what. Let me say this before we let you go, because I love having you on, because
well,
I do think.
God, I'm sorry. I got.
I do. But I want to thank you. Thank you for
all right,
coming
thanks,
on.
Thank you. I appreciate the chance to come on, and we'll do it again sometime soon, brother.
I really hope. Take care.
All right, take care,
Representative. Bye bye.
Now, see, there you go. Now, that's the type of conversations we need to have in this country. And I thank Representative Jordan for coming on, because, hey, he's our representative, and we've got to ask those questions. Now we can go to your opinion, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We've got about 10 minutes before the break here. We thank Representative Jordan immensely for his time and calling back. You know, he doesn't have to do those interviews. So that was a little bit of a, I don't know what you would call it, maybe a bit of a heated exchange, but I thank him for staying on the line and answering the questions, because that
is something a lot of politicians are not willing to do. So I give him props for staying on the line, answering the questions, and coming on the program today. And I do hope he comes back, because we need to see all points of view. Just like we had Barry Farber earlier on in the week, who started conservative talk radio, and we had Eleanor Clift, who certainly leans toward the left side of the column, more Democrat. So, you know, that's how we get all points of view. Does anybody want to weigh in? Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have any thoughts on the interview that was just done with Congressman Jim Jordan? And we will have President Harding's grandson on top of the next hour, 1:10. We will be joined by Jim Blessing. So all kinds of good stuff coming up here today on WWGH Radio. I don't know if Adam Lepp, the computer guy, heard that program, but I know he was interested today pretty heavy in that interview, and I wonder if he has any thoughts on what went on today. But I do want to remind people again that WWGH reports from the Marion Prison will be... looks like we're getting a call here. Good, here we go. This is a gentleman whose voice you heard this morning on WWGH Radio, 9:10 to 10 a.m. with the Adam the Computer Guy show, which you can hear every Tuesday and Thursday from 9:10 to 10 a.m., and mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp and the usual guest, Professor Ron Feynman, on Mondays, 10:10 a.m. to 11. It's Adam Lepp. Adam!
Hello, Scott. How are you, my friend?
I'm having a good day.
I listened to the entire interview, along with the aforementioned professor that you mentioned. Really disgusted, Scott. I don't like to talk bad about anybody. We have too much negativity in the world. But he evaded so many questions. He said, "Well, ask the athletes that." No, we're asking him. Conjecture is important. That's part of his job, and it's part of his job to speak to the press. You are very respectful. Yes, you are persistent, but that's your style, and you're, you know, very good, as you know. I and others have said. I'm just really disgusted by his response. You did a wonderful job and kept your cool. I don't know how you did it, because I would have started yelling and pacing the floor. But you know, I guess you have a great ability to be calm in a stressful situation. Even his goodbye was rude. He has a chance to talk about things. And plus, he was spent a lot of time bragging about the Trump administration. You know, agree or disagree. You asked about Marion, and I didn't think he really cares at all about Marion. I mean, let's contrast that with Ed McCants. And happy birthday, by the way, Ed. It's his birthday today. But he talks about Marion. Yes, what affects Jordan's district affects Marion and everywhere else in the district. He doesn't seem to care. I don't think he even knows what Marion is, if you want my opinion.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I do have to say, it was a little high pressure. I think he felt on the defensive. I'm sorry he felt that way. But he doesn't have to come on. And you always have to remember that.
He doesn't legally have to come on, but it's part of his job. And if he doesn't, then he is trying to avoid something or hide something. And our taxes make up his paycheck.
Well,
I don't live in his district, but I do indirectly, because I'm in Marion all the time, and I have many, many connections there, and don't live far from his district, and have you and other friends in his district. So, really, I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be one of his favorite interviews, but he didn't answer any questions. You know, it's the old thing you learn in elementary school about fallacies, of begging the question and trying to get someone else to answer it, you know. And I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody. I know he is the congressman. I respect all politicians, regardless of whether or not I like them, because they do work for us. But it kind of shook me up a little bit. And this guy should not be Speaker of the House. Let me put it on record. He should not be Speaker. He doesn't answer questions. He's rude. Even his goodbye was rude. It was very fake sounding.
Well, what
I'm sorry if I come across too strong, but you know, I like to weigh in. Dr. Feynman and I have been talking about it during the interview, and neither of us is particularly pleased.
Well, it's interesting. I just make the point again that he didn't have, and even when we got disconnected, he did call back. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I was thinking he hung up on you, but. I even that would be below him, and I understand. My phone goes out. I'm on the landline, thankfully. But yeah, I believe him, and cell phones aren't perfect, and the quality was very good when he was on. So that's not a problem. Even though that was my first thought.
Right, and
but
I,
the Mueller investigation is very important. And the wrestling thing, that's extremely serious, especially now with the issue with the football coach. It seems like every day we hear about something, and goodness sakes, my world's getting shaken up. You know, as is yours.
Well, it's interesting because we had booked that interview long in advance of the news that came out yesterday about the head coach of the wrestling team when Representative.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic the time. He probably should have been on a couple of weeks ago. It might have been easier because I think he's hearing the pressure.
Well, I mean, the report did say that Hellickson contacted these players on July the 4th through Messenger or text. I don't know exactly which it was. And he did ask them to recant their testimony because he said he was getting pressure from Jordan. Now, he could have made that up. There's no evidence that shows he was getting pressure from Jordan.
Yeah, I don't think anybody there is telling the full truth. But the evidence about the Jordan situation seems clear and convincing. And he talked about one guy was in prison for fraud. That's fine. There are multiple people. And who knows where the truth is. Something just doesn't smell right. And he got very evasive. And when you're evasive, it's, you know, it doesn't need a PhD in sociology to understand that one, Scott. It means you're trying to hide something.
Well, what I thought...
And he should say, Scott, thank you for asking. This is my chance to tell my constituents and everybody listening in the entire world what happened. And instead, he got evasive and just didn't think it was his duty to talk to you about it. And it is not legally, but a good politician makes him or herself available.
Well, I think interestingly enough, especially in regard to the Mueller probe. That was interesting. I thought his answers were interesting, and I'm glad the listening audience heard them, because I think they'll deduce what they deduce. And it's clear, and I think Representative Jordan would say this unabashedly, that he is a supporter of President Trump.
That's fine. We knew that already. And I, even bragging a little bit about the Trump accomplishments, whether or not we agree with them, that's fine. But he didn't say one thing about Marion, just a token comment. How could anybody in Marion vote for this guy? I don't think he even knows where Marion is. Marion's a great town.
Well, I agree.
I love going to Marion. I love interacting with people there. I don't think he cares at all.
Well, what I thought was interesting.
I wish he did. I mean, yeah, I know Ed is from Marion and has a long history, so it's a little different comparing Ed or the mayor, the other Scott S. I call him to Congressman Jordan. But just look at the good feeling people get about this area. And even myself.
Well, again,
versus the congressman, and it's like, well, I understand he has many cities and rural areas in his district, but I wasn't pleased with that answer either.
Well, what I found interesting, you know, we know he's pro Trump, and that's okay. It's okay to be pro Trump.
That's fine. We knew that coming in, and every politician has good and bad points, including the ones I love and the ones that I hate, for sure.
Well, and as I said, as you have your opinion, I hope that's what an interview like that will do, because I think everybody hears it in their own way and takes their own perspective away, because it was live, there were no preconditions on it.
Oh, yeah, that's the best kind of, you never quite know when you're on with Scott. And honestly, when I call Scott, I don't know what you're going to ask me. We've had times you've kind of challenged me, and we talk, and sometimes we talk like two friends over coffee, and sometimes you just ask me, like today, and I talk, and I only called because I'm just disgusted by what I heard. He needs to go.
Well, I think it's interesting because...
And this guy is not... I will borrow a term from Donald Trump. He is as qualified to be Speaker of the House, and he should instead run for dog catcher.
Now, on my facts...
I'll borrow that from the president, because that's one thing the president said that I think is amusing.
Well, one thing I do want to be factual. I mean, correct me if I'm right or wrong. Didn't the Watergate investigation go on longer than a year and a couple months?
I don't know specifically, but yeah, it went on for a while and kind of came and went. You know, I remember because my dad's an attorney. He was working in publishing and he worked for the government when we moved to Central Ohio. And you know, we talk about it all the time. I was in elementary school then, so didn't follow it closely. But it seemed like, I remember one day I asked my mom, wasn't Watergate over? She said, no, it's coming back, and they're testifying again, and they're back on TV. And then she said, well, Nixon wasn't going to resign. He's too proud. And sure enough, a few days later, he resigns.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
It seems like, but, you know, it's a different time. There was no Twitter then. There was no Facebook. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg wasn't even born, for goodness sakes. But there was no social media ways of disseminating information, no instant gratification. You waited to get the paper in the morning. In fact, you know, Columbus, for example, had two papers. And now, you know, people still read the paper. Well, sometimes, but you just go to a news website or listen to talk radio and get the news immediately. So there's a change there. So I guess, ironically, based on the amount, the time frame, has it been affected by the change in the way people get information or not? I guess there's two ways to look at it.
Before I let you go here, Adam, before we go to break, correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes we're in the middle of those, and I don't write down questions. Didn't he ask me at one point who the contact person would have been for the collusion? I think he did.
I don't recall. I think he may have, Scott. I don't recall specifically, so I don't want to say for sure. I only want to talk about something when I, you know, if I know for sure. And my call today is more about the general tone of the interview, including the goodbye, which wasn't even very nice.
Well,
it was very fake.
Well, like I said, I don't know,
but this, you know, my voice is shaking thinking that this guy could be speaker.
Well,
he
shouldn't be.
I think there are things that Jim Jordan can do that are good. I'm not saying it's all bad. I don't like his answers. He evaded the question. He begged the question. Even his goodbye, like always leave him on a good note. That's the thing. You guys don't have to agree. He knows he wasn't calling someone who was going to be in his fan club. He understands that. But at least leave it on a good note. And it left on a bad note. I don't care if he has to go.
Well, I will say this. Anybody who comes on this program deserves a fair shake, and I felt...
Oh, no question, and you always give it. I mean, look at Mary Taylor, though. There's a better difference. Now, Mary Taylor being very conservative, not along the lines politically with some of us, but look how respectful she is. She answers the question. She's always nice, always thanks you for having her on. Look at the difference. Look at the difference in class.
Well,
I mean, goodness sake.
I tell you what, Adam, I got a break because we're going into President Harding's grandson, but if you happen to listen to the radio and continue on listening through the interview and the next hour doesn't go as long, feel free to call back in.
Yeah, I may. I have to go eat because I get grumpy, especially right. After what I just heard. But thanks for having him on, Scott. It was wonderful. You did a fantastic job. You are the bomb.
Well, hey, thank you, Adam, for calling in. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
We're going to break.
I'll tell you something. Mr. Sullivan, it has been on television 11